If you haven't seen your boyfriend since Tuesday or friends have mysteriously disappeared, we can solve that mystery. On Tuesday, Rockstar Games released Grand Theft Auto 4 for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It's already surpassed the one-day sales record in the UK, beating out Halo 3, and it's expected to sell 9 million copies in the US by the end of this year. Early reviews praise it for its unparalleled interactive features and all-star hip-hop soundtrack and its lived-in look, but critics of the game say it's violent toward women and should not be sold to teens under 18. And yesterday, Mothers Against Drunk Driving came out in opposition to the game, saying it promotes driving under the influence. Today, we want to hear your review. Have you played the new game yet? We've got somebody online who's been playing the game for 28 hours. What do you think? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can also comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blog of the nation. We begin with Adam Sessler. He's the co-host and managing editor of the show X-Play on G4 TV and joins us from G4 TV studios in Los Angeles. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hey, it's very nice to be here.
And I gather you love this game.
It really is a very, very impressive game, and I would have to say that I'm a little bit jaded to impressive games as I have to play them quite frequently. But just the size and robustness of what they created, which really feels like a very living city that you function in addition to a very interesting narrative that goes along with it.
And the detail, the level of detail, I'll confess I've not played it, but it's said to be amazing.
I mean, it really is. Now, they've done this before. It really started back with the game Grand Theft Auto 3, which created this Liberty City, and it wowed people in the fact that you could move around what felt at the time like a very living city. What we didn't know is what it really could be like, which is what we're seeing in Grand Theft Auto 4. Every neighborhood has its own distinct feel. Every corner seems to feel unique from other ones. Everybody who's walking on the street seems to have a very, very distinct personality. It really is an amazing thing just to take in visually.
And I've heard that, for example, there are all kinds of levels. One reviewer heard a radio news story. This is in the game. Heard a radio news story about a serial killer terrorizing the town after clicking on a lawyer's webpage to set up a meeting. The reviewer got sidetracked surfing a MySpace parody site that had a banner ad for a blog hosting service. Browsing the blogs revealed an entire history of posts from a disturbed individual who then is revealed to be the serial killer.
Yes, it's amazingly creative what they put into the game. Another amazing point of detail that I noticed is you have a cell phone in the game, and if you're listening to the radio and the cell phone rings, you actually get the crackle on the radio that you normally would in real life. I mean, they've gone down to that level of detail, and you think it sounds kind of silly, but really it does make the entire experience feel that much richer.
Let's get a caller in on the line. Jason's calling. Jason from Valdosta in Georgia.
How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I'd like to, first of all, just reiterate all the points that your guest has made. One of the things that I've found about this game that I really do like is the main character I've found so far is different in a very fundamental way than all the other ones from 3 that I've played. Most of the main characters have some kind of shady past that really makes him a negative character, kind of not necessarily evil, but just a step above that, really. This main character, like I said, so far that I've found, he's not really overtly negative. He's a soldier he's done things he's not proud of, but he was a soldier, and he's on a revenge mission, more than anything.
Adam Sessler, this is Nico, correct?
Right, yes. This is Niko Bellic. He is the main character of the game. He comes from somewhere in Eastern Europe that is unidentified. I'm deciding it's one of the Baltic countries. And I think the caller is very, very accurate. The previous games tended to traffic in very, very broad stereotypes. And while they still use that kind of stereotype satire in this game, I almost want to say it's more Brechtian in the way that they're using it. There's a greater sense of true pointed satire at the sense of the immigration experience in the United States. And even a sense of commentary on the American dream. The main character from the very beginning seems astounded that, you know, all these things he heard about America really aren't turning out to be real. And that really is an impetus to driving him through this game in the criminal underworld.
Yeah.
Jason, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And also with us on the line is Jim. Jim is in Los Angeles where he's been playing this game for 28 hours straight. Jim, thanks for taking the time to call us. Is the game on pause?
No. I actually finished last night at 9 p.m. I went from 5 p.m. Tuesday to 9 p.m. last night.
Oh, so you've managed to get some sleep in between now and then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got about a solid 12. I could use a few more, though.
I suspect you're right. I wonder, why did you do this? Is it something you just got caught up and kept playing and playing, or were you trying to establish some kind of Guinness Book of World Records?
Oh, no, no, no. I do a show called the 24-Hour Video Game Review for BushLeague.tv, and the whole premise of the show is that I play a game for 24 hours and review it as I go to you know, let the viewers know if it's worth spending the money on. And this was the second one I've done, and it was also for a Guinness World Record attempt.
And was it better in hour 26 than it was in hour 2?
You know, it was pretty good. The game itself was great the whole way through. It's just in the early a.m. hours, about around hour 12 of gameplay, that's when, you know, personally it became a little rough to play. But no, the game was great all the way through.
And your thumbs, are they sore?
No, absolutely not. PlayStation makes a very smooth controller.
And as I understand, there are two different versions of this for different players. Which one? You were using the PlayStation one?
I was playing on PlayStation 3, yes.
And did you finish the game? I mean, did you get to the final end? Are you done?
Oh, no, no. I got about 28% through the game.
28%?
Yeah.
This is going to take you a long time to finish.
Yes, it is. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of side missions and steps to get caught up in. And, you know, if you're stuck on a mission for a while, you can take a breather, run around, find other ways to make money. You can do things like play pool, play darts, bowl. There's a whole set of sub-games within the main game.
And what's your favorite part?
My favorite part is just the look of it. It's so cinematic. You know, the cutscenes all look great, and there's times within the actual gameplay where a camera angle will switch, and it gives a very cinematic look to it. It's just visually a very impressive game.
And would you say it's worth the money?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's something that'll keep you busy for a long time, and I haven't gotten to the multiplayer aspect of it yet, but, you know, even if you beat the single player, within a week, you've got a whole world of multiplayer, and you've got a whole, you know, group of, you know, subplots going on to play on that. So, totally worth it.
And I understand that later additional features for this game, features within features, if you will, they can be uploaded at least to some systems.
Yes, that's what I've heard. It's apparently in August, Xbox will have some exclusive downloadable content for it. No word on yet on what that's going to be.
Thanks very much, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
John Bruce Thompson is an attorney in Miami and an anti-video game activist, and he joins us now by phone from Miami in Florida. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
And I understand that you think one of the characters in Grand Theft Auto 4 is based on you.
Well, they go into a lawyer's office and they kill him. I had my house vandalized today, by the way, by gamers. I get calls, death threats all the time from gamers saying that they want to kill me. And by the way, the game has had no effect on my attitudes or behaviors, which is interesting. But, I'm not. The real issue here, though, is the fact that there's so much sex and so much graphic sex in this game that the distribution of it to minors, which is occurring, is a criminal act. And I'm working with various law enforcement agencies, hopefully with the result that Take-Two corporately and the chairman, Strauss Zelnick, will be indicted for that, because this is way, way over the line. I say that as a lawyer, knowing where that line is.
If you don't mind if I step in there, Neil, having played the game, I have yet to actually discover the graphic sex that Mr. Thompson is identifying.
Apparently you aren't very good at finding it. Maybe you weren't looking, but it's up at IGN.com. It was provided by Take-Two to News Corporation, and they put it on the web, so it's out there.
How are you? No. I am aware of the
videos
that are up on
IGN.com. Adam? Yes. Adam? Can I ask a question here?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, thanks very much. John Thompson, let me just ask you. First of all, you've been involved in lawsuits with this company for some time, which is why you think that they might have a joke at your expense by making a parody of you.
I don't really care about the parody of me. That's not the point here. The point is that this company is engaged in criminal activity and is mentally molesting minors for money. This is the most graphic, most incredibly sexual product ever been distributed en masse to American children. It's a criminal act, and that's why I intend to have them held accountable for it.
And have you played the game?
It just came out, and I have a life, and the gentleman said he's been playing it, 20-some hours, and he's 28% of the way through it. The point is that the sexual material, which has been described in the reviews and which you can see with your own eyes that Take-Two has provided to News Corp, is in the game, and in fact, the descriptor on the game, the ESRB descriptor, says strong sexual content. What I have seen is lap dances, simulated fellatio and cunnilingus, S&M between two women while a man watches, language of prostitutes to people in cars that I can't use on an FCC-licensed station, and then killing of the prostitutes by shotguns, machine guns, and ramming them into rocks with your vehicle to kill them after you've had the sex. Now, if that's appropriate entertainment for teens, then things have pretty much changed in this country, and not for the better.
And which law enforcement agencies are you working with?
I'm not going to tell you.
All right. Well, thanks very much for speaking with us.
I'm done.
You're done.
Oh, great. Well, I'll go play the game now.
Good luck. We're talking about Grand Theft Auto 4. Our guest is Adam Sessler, co-host and managing editor of the show X-Play on G4 TV. If you'd like to join the conversation, have you played the game? You got a review? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Adam Sessler, I do have to ask you, there is, at least according to all the counts, considerable amounts of sex and violence in this game. And indeed, killing prostitutes seems to be part of scoring points in the game.
Well, no, the killing of the prostitutes doesn't give you points. In fact, the game doesn't even sort of work on a points basis. For some reason, though, ever since Grand Theft Auto 3, this notion that you have to kill prostitutes in the game has been pervasive, even though, yes, you can through the course of playing the game, but in no way is the game telling you that you have to do that in order to proceed.
But if you
But at the same time, yes?
If you're one of those people who thinks that violence and sex in video games can influence the behavior of young people, well, you could be concerned about this.
Yes, and I think the point is that Mr. Thompson was very, very off base on. This game was made by adults for adults. It received an MA rating, which stands for mature, and says it right there in the box. It also says it's intended for people 17 and older, and then gives very clear descriptions of what's in the game. Obviously, this has been sold to minors, probably at some stores, but the intention is with that rating, it is not supposed to go into the hands of children. And I don't think that anyone, be it on the marketing side or the people who made the game, are in any way being deceptive about it and trying to actually encourage children to buy it when they shouldn't be.
Do you really believe that? I mean, a rating like that is almost guaranteed to put it in the hands of every 12-year-old in the country.
Yes, I'll have to concede that. Now, at the same time, I used to sneak in R-rated movies when I was young, and I think I turned out rather balanced. I guess some people could contest that, but I definitely think I have. And I think that for all things, outside of even video games, that, you know, when you're 12 and you're a little bit older, you want to be an adult, you know, and those things that are parts of the adult world have a greater allure, and that's why people are drawn, especially to Grand Theft Auto. It's by no means the most violent or depraved game that's out there. It just happens to be a very popular one. It becomes this touchstone for everyone's anxieties, I think, about the very medium of video games.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Daniel. Daniel with us from Utica in New York.
Hello, am I on right now?
Yes, you are.
Hello, Adam. I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. I actually bought the special edition of Grand Theft Auto 4 when it came out on release date. I'm a big fan of the games. I've been with it since the beginning of the games, and 4 is absolutely amazing.
And so
I would definitely agree.
Yes, and I was saying earlier I heard that Mothers Against Drunk Driving has spoken against the game for promoting drunk driving. I do not believe this is true. I at no point saw in the game the promotion of drunk driving.
Isn't there a feature where you, as the character, can get drunk and then get in a car and it responds as if you're driving drunk?
Yes, the main character of the game can get drunk and you can enter a vehicle, but it actually makes gameplay more difficult. And in the game, when you're trying to do something, it makes driving the car a lot harder, and it actually makes whatever you're doing more difficult.
Yet, because the main character, who is a glamorous character, is doing this, you might see how Mothers Against Drunk Driving could fear that this might lead other people to do it. Anyway, Daniel, thanks very much.
The game should be in the hands of responsible people. Like, I was listening when Mr. Thompson was on, and I'm actually doing a school report, my senior thesis, about controversy in video games. I've actually been following Mr. Thompson and his escapades against gaming, and I think he's a little ridiculous because I think it's, as Sessler said earlier, it's being sold two adults made by adults.
And if you were 12 years old, how long would it be before you had this in your house? A week?
Well,
2 weeks?
I guess not long. But
I guess not long. Daniel, I just wanted to get another caller in, but thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we have time for Amy. And Amy's with us from Fremont in California.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have not played this game, but my husband has, and I was present when he played through 3 and now when he's playing through 4. And just as a listener, I really, really dislike this game. It's got horrible radio stations that play awful music, but the thing that gets me is the language and the way people talk to each other and the way he reacts to it. He just finds it all amusing, and I don't think there's anything funny about, you know, crashing a car and using foul language and, you know, killing women. I don't find that funny.
Adam Sessler, we're going to give you the last 30 seconds.
I think the fact is this game is not for everybody, but obviously it's following kind of an amoral path and the anti-hero. And for those that are out there that like video games and like that kind of a story, I think it's appropriate. For those that don't, it's very easy to avoid it.
Amy, thanks for the call, and good luck suffering through Grand Theft Auto 4 with your husband.
Thank you.
And Adam Sessler, thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Adam Sessler, co-host and managing editor of the show X-Play on G4 TV. You can read about his video game series on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. He was with us today from G4 TV studios in Los Angeles. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.